This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it was a marvelous Christmas. I can't say enough about it. I love Christmas. I love opening packages.
I have been looking forward to your Christmas for probably about a month or so, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, because you've told me about all the amazing things that you have gotten people, all the electronic devices, the technical gadgets, and things like that. And it just sounds like it was really ramping up to be a wonderful season. It sounds like it probably was.
It was. Everybody loved the gadgets. The tech stuff, really just everybody was amazed. The coffee cup is an amazing thing. The way that works, you know, it plugs into your phone. You can see the temperature rising off of the phone.
That's amazing.
That's the most neatest thing I've ever seen. Then the little deal, the Dodow, D-O-D-O-W, for people that can't sleep, we got one of those for someone. And that's the neatest gadget you ever saw. Technology has come a long, long way.
It really has. And anything that you can have that is connected to your phone, it's just like, man, you can like literally control the world, you know, while you're like laying down. And like security systems, you can lock your doors with your phone. You can turn your lights on and off. You can now adjust your coffee temperature from your phone. It's just it's amazing the things that we can do and we can connect.
We have come a long way, haven't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the technology has really taken over. I mean, technology is used to run our homes, our offices, everything we know. And I would not want to go back 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I can remember in the 60s when I got my first car phone.
Really?
I mean, yes. It was in a console, and you had to work on it every time you wanted to call somebody, and you'd have to get the operator. You know, there was all kinds of things on the very first phone. Then I had the radio phone where all the back part of it is in your trunk.
Really?
And that was one of the best phones because we could drive to Chicago from Texas, and that phone would work every step of the way, all the way to Chicago.
Wow, that's amazing.
The radio phone was a great invention, and it's come a long way. And now we have these iPhones, that are just amazing, but they're hard to run. I'm not going to say they're easy, because I needed a new phone the other day and got the new phone, and I couldn't even use it.
Yeah.
I had to have help, and it was just the things we're used to on the older phones didn't even work. You know, this thing was so sophisticated. And it had two security deals. And I said, I want those off of my phone. First, it had facial recognition. And then it had a code you had to use. And I said, I can't do that every time I need to call someone. Yeah. I can't be putting a code in every 4 minutes, and I can't do this facial deal. So I got all that off of it.
Yeah. Facial recognition scared me at first, and then I realized, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to remember my passwords every time. It just scans my face, and then I'm in. It turned out to be quite handy. It's scary to know that they have that technology, but it's quite handy.
Well, but I couldn't get it to do just one. On mine, it wanted to do both. I said, that's way too much.
Oh.
You know, yeah, every time, every 5 minutes, if I was using the phone, you've got to put the code in. I said, this code deal is just ruining my life. I can't do that every time. So I said, let's get that out, where I can go back to the regular old wages using the phone.
Well, then, since you're so into technology and phones, have you seen that we're going back to actual flip phones? Remember the flip phones that we had?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had one for years.
We're going back to those. Apple's got their new flip phone. They say it's not going to be 2021 when it comes out, but it'll be 2022. And apparently, it's not like the Samsung like folding phone. Apparently, it actually like folds the way that the old school flip phones used to, but that will be out probably in 2022, they say.
You remember how small the flip phone was?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh, it was small.
Wow.
And you had to really be careful to keep up with it.
Yes, yes. It would fit in a pocket real nicely, but, man, it was small. You could lose that thing
in a
heartbeat.
It was so small, you'd never be able to read all the things you read on a phone today.
No, no.
Yeah, so time is marching along. All the geniuses that make all this, you know, they just keep getting smarter and smarter.
I remember the first time I saw a cell phone. This is before all the flip phones. This is when they had that big thing that looked like a brick with a big antenna on it.
Yes, I had one of those, yes.
Did you really? Wow.
Uh-huh.
We had, I was with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits, and I went to pick him up at the airport, and he had that thing in his hand. I'm like, what in the world is that? And he's like, oh, it's a cell phone, mate. And so he went through the process. He called somebody from it, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That is really, really cool. It was amazing, not knowing what was going to happen.
I had one of those and had a little place in the front of the car to hold it. It had a little case there you could put it in. But I had one of those for a long time.
Wow, how cool.
That was. But it was big. That's the only thing. It was pretty big.
Yeah,
so
but
you couldn't put it just anywhere.
I mean, this is, you know, back then, not everybody had a cell phone, and so you had to have it big so that you could, it looked impressive. It's like, man, look at me. I have one of these devices. I am somebody cool. You had to have it big.
Yeah, and I believe it was in, I want to say 63 maybe when I got my first one.
Wow, awesome.
I think it was, because we got one of the first ones, and you had to be on a list back then. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
There was a list. You had to get on this list to see when your time would come up that you could actually get a phone.
Really?
And, if you were in a certain business, you could get one up the line a little bit. Otherwise, you had to wait your turn.
Wow.
Yeah, they were very limited as to who could get one back then.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Yes, and we got on the list, and when our number came up, we bought one immediately.
And you loved it.
I loved it. And the very first ones, as I said, you had to get the operator, and then it just kept coming up as to what you could do with a cell phone.
Wow. It's amazing. And now phones are not just, I think probably making a call is one of the last things that most people do with a phone now. You know, you're on the internet or sending texts or, you know, Snapchatting or, you know, whatever it is. Phone calling is usually the last thing that people do with a phone now.
Well, there's so many things you can do with a phone. You know, you've got all your apps on it. You know, you've got all your news stations on it. You've got everything. You've got all your contacts on there for business. So a phone is not just a phone. You know, it's many things now.
Yeah. Yeah. You can watch TV on your phone. You can do everything, which
but
is great.
I still like to use my computer for almost everything because you've got your big screen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much easier.
I guess that's what the difference is. Yeah. It's much easier.
It is. Unless you're on the go, and then you have no choice.
That's right. And on the go, there's just every kind of thing in the world that you can do.
Yeah. Well, of course, then again, having that kind of access to people while you're on the go really doesn't give you much downtime. And now we need apps on our phone to unplug from our phones.
Well, and when I got the new phone, I've been having trouble with it pairing up on the radio, you know, where I can do hands-free like I've always done. That's, to me, the greatest advantage is a hands-free in the car.
Yeah.
Because I'm using it all the time to the office, from the office. Hands-free is just, you've got to have it. I can't, be dialing numbers in the car. And so that to me is one of the big advantages.
It is. That is really fantastic, because you can drive like normal, and it's just like talking to somebody if they were like in the passenger seat. You're not holding a phone, you don't have any earbuds in your ears, you don't have anything to distract you. It's just like you're driving along like normal, talking on the phone.
That's right. And so, you know, if it doesn't pair up, you've got to stop, figure out what's wrong, get it paired back up, and go.
Yeah. Technology is great until it doesn't work. And
when
it doesn't work.
That's right. Then you're scratching your head trying to figure out, how do we get this thing to work?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, what, 20, 25 years ago, we made it just fine without all this. And now all of a sudden we're in a dead panic thinking, my goodness, my technology is broken. I'm in so much trouble.
And you can't leave the house with that. Do you realize that? If you can't find your phone, you're not leaving.
Oh.
You're not leaving until you've got the phone in your hand.
Yes, yes. It's almost more important than the car keys.
That's right. And of course, you know, nowadays my car doesn't have a car key,
yeah.
You know. So, you know, we're getting used to not even using a key.
Yeah, yeah. You can unlock your doors.
So it's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. You don't need your key to open the door or start the car.
That's right. And so people say, oh, where's your keys? I say, you don't need a key for mine. You know, unlock it and get in and drive it. As long as that key is somewhere in the car, you know, it'll operate.
Pretty soon, you're going to be going to work in one of those individual flying machines.
Wouldn't that be it? That would be very interesting.
Be like the Jetsons all over again.
I think a lot of those things are going to come to pass in reality. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things the engineers drew that were just make-believe, a lot of that stuff is really not going to be make-believe.
Yeah, they're probably going to come true for real. You're probably right about
yes.
that.
Because we're fixing to have cars that you don't have to have a driver.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to drive themselves. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I know the way some people drive, and they shouldn't be driving.
That's right. And this should save a lot of lives, as long as whatever guides this thing is on target and doesn't make a miscue.
Yeah, that's a case you don't want your technology to break. That could be really, really bad.
That's right. The robot in there in the inside, it better be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if he messes up, you know, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah. I mean, if your robot vacuum cleaner messes up, nobody's really hurt. You just end up with some dirt on the floor. But if
That's
your
right.
driving car messes up, you've got a big, big problem.
Have you tried the little robot vacuum cleaner yet?
No, not yet, but...
I haven't either. That's one thing I haven't bought.
It's on the list.
I'm surprised I don't have one.
Well, there's one that says, and I saw a comparison just the other day. They were saying that, you know, one of the first ones that came out, it sweeps and vacuums in like a zigzag. It kind of goes wherever in kind of an odd pattern. But the ones that come out now, they go like when you mow your grass, it goes like down one row, goes right back next to that row, and then it turns around, goes right back to it. Does it in rows like fields, like
yeah.
Know,
like I mean, corn. Which is sensible. Yeah, that's very sensible. Well, and I don't know who thought that up, but that's another good technology right there. I mean, you know, I think it's a great deal. You know, I try almost everything. If it's new, you know, Faye's out there trying it out.
Yeah. Well, you can't take your old vacuum cleaner to the repair shop anymore because they don't have them. Or TVs.
That's
you can't have your TV repaired. You just throw it away and get a new one.
That's right. They just say, get a new one. We don't repair that. Yeah, I understand about that.
I imagine you were probably old school like us, and you had like the Zenith guy come to your house and replace the picture tube and the television.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember all that. Oh, my gosh.
Good times. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. And you can reach us at AmericanFinancialMidland.com and get all the information. I love our website because you can do so many things on that website.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of people actually go and they do a little bit of research, because we're in a time now where people do a lot of research, especially if they're considering doing business with a particular new company, or if there's a new service that's available. People are doing a lot of homework these days, more now than really ever. They're looking at reviews, they're looking at testimonials, they're learning about processes, they're learning about all kinds of things. They're making very informed decisions when it comes to things, and so people can read testimonials. People can see past money that people have made from investing in life insurance policies. So there's tons of valuable information on the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So yes, and I really recommend they go and read the testimonials, like you said. Look up what people have made. I think it's just a good thing to know more.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's great information. And so as we go into the final week of the year, I know this is a time of year where, people are celebrating a lot. But then there's another aspect of this time of year where some people are actually doing their year-end wrap-up things as far as financial stuff goes. Is there anything in particular that people should be doing this coming week to kind of round out 2020 before we go into the new year?
Well, a lot of people are opening new accounts with us, people that have been thinking about it. We've actually been very busy this month, people opening new accounts. A lot of people are going to retire. A lot of the companies are making changes. Some of the companies have sold. The ones that have sold, those people are bringing their money to us and putting it with us, because you can't leave it at those companies when you retire. They're selling the company. They don't want your 401k over there. So we've taken in several 401ks. We've done a lot of financial planning for people that are retiring right now. And a lot of people are retiring. They've had it. They've just, they've gone as far as they can go, and they're just saying, we're going to get out of the oil and gas business, and this is it.
There's a number of people who own their own business. So when people are considering retirement or selling the business or whatever they're doing, is there any different approach between being an employee and a business owner when you start thinking about wrapping things up? Is there any a different approach?
I think so. The owner of the company probably never had a 401k. It probably doesn't have an IRA. And when they come to us, it's going to be a joint account with their wife. Their retirement plans are going to be different than the guy that has the IRA or the 401k that he's bringing over, because they're not going to pay taxes on their money for years. And so we're just going to reestablish an IRA for them. The other people, we're going to do joint accounts with them and their wife. And there is a difference. And everybody has a different way they want to do this. A lot of people have a Roth. A lot of people are switching their money over to their Roth, where there won't be any taxes ever. If they have an IRA and a Roth, they can switch, over to the Roth. So everybody has a different way they're going to do things. The people that are fixing to retire are bringing us a lump sum, because they can't leave it where it is, or do not want to leave it either. So we're doing a lot of different things right here at the end of the year.
Is there anything else that, like tax purposes, anything that people should be doing to avoid any unnecessary taxes before the year winds out?
Have as much money in their IRA as they can, because that keeps you from paying taxes for a long time. Okay. And most people have already established an IRA, so when they come over, they're going to bring it over as an IRA. If you bring it over just individually, you will pay taxes each year, of course, but it's not normal taxes. It's not, it's not that 39-40%.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot. So everybody has a different way of doing this. A lot of people are deciding who's going to get their money, and that happens every year. We have people say, I want to set this up for my grandchildren, for my wife. They're doing trust. They're doing estate planning. And a lot of people are just doing an LLC, a family LLC, and putting their money in a family business type. So there's all kinds of ways to save on taxes, and a lot of people are doing that at the end of the year.
What does the what does the forecast look like? I know, you know, over the last couple of months, really, people have been saying that there could be some kind of an event. Are they still saying things like that? Are, you know, as we get closer to you know, the new year, are people forecasting better times or kind of more of the same?
Well, I think a lot of people are saying, you know, let's make changes here at the end of the year. They're saying that things like that. You just everybody has a different way of looking at everything.
Okay. All right. So I know that you've had a lot of people coming over and saying, "Look, I'm not really sure what's going to be happening. I really want to kind of get things a little bit more secure." I know you've had a couple of really great policies in the last several weeks. Is this a good time for people to set up an account? Maybe just kind of get ready for when new policies come in. Is this a good time for that, or should they wait until after the first?
No, I think it's a good time for it. Especially at the end of the year, they know how much money they've got right now. They know for sure what their standard is, because we may not know next year. We a lot of things are unknown to us, and I think this is why people are making changes right now. They don't think the dollar is going to be worth anything, so they're bringing us the money, because remember, you're investing in a life insurance policy, so we know that is safety. I feel like it's really safe being in a life insurance policy, so, versus a lot of the other investments.
Do you find a lot of people are actually being proactive right now? Because I know sometimes people will come over and they'll say, you know, if I've lost a ton of money, I just can't do it anymore. I haven't made, you know, but like 7% in the last 30 years. It's just I'm just not getting the returns on other investments as I should. I should be a lot farther along. Or are people coming at from a defensive point of view, or just being proactive and saying, look, you know, it's time to really buckle down, make a smart investment, switch over to life settlements because of the security, because of the types of policies? And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But are they being
proactive? I think they're being very proactive right now because of uncertainty. None of us know for sure what's going to happen the following year. As I said, a lot of people have called me, Faye, what changes do we need to make? What can we do? And we just don't know for sure. I know a lot of people, I was reading the other day where it said all these people are moving their money. You know, they're getting it out of the stock market, and they recommended they're getting it out now. So I don't know. It's just an uncertain time. And so if they want to be sure of their investment, you know, they're coming to us. We're putting it in life insurance policies where it'll be a lot more secure. It won't be in the stock market if something does go wrong.
And I know you've had a lot of people that have come over and open up new accounts and wanted to make that switch. Do they already know how the investment works, or are they asking a lot of questions? What's the big thing that people are coming in with right off the bat?
Well, a lot of them, two families, two whole families, their relative has been with us many, many years. So they didn't ask a lot of questions. They asked maybe three questions. Then the other new people had a lot of questions. We answered all their questions. They opened up their accounts. Then we had some people here in town that their wife and their husband, in different cases, had an account with us for years and had passed away. And so now they have come over, and they already knew how it worked. They didn't need any help. They just wanted to get the money over and get it invested before the end of the year.
I would imagine probably at this point it would be, if somebody had a new account with only a few days left in the year, I would imagine probably their first policy wouldn't come until sometime in January. That's right.
They would not be able to get it done until then.
And that's fine. I mean, I guess when people start getting started, I guess, is the biggest hurdle, you know, just coming over, getting the whole process started, I would imagine is the biggest thing that people face. How much time, how much of an investment is it? What kind of a hurdle is it for people to just get started?
It's not any big hurdle at all. It's really quite simple. They come over, we open the account, they give us a check. It's usually a personal check, and we send it in. Then we have to get the account opened and approved, get their account number. Once we've done all that, that takes 4 or 5 days. So then they're ready when the policies – we'll be getting a lot of policies in January. We're waiting on contracts to come back on 3 or 4 contracts coming back now on policies. So when they come in, we'll be ready right then to put people in it. So they have to have their money there when the policies become available, because it's going to be a, you know, first in line on that.
Otherwise, they're behind the eight ball. If a policy
That's
comes
right.
in and they're not ready, it's like, man, you got to catch up now.
That's right. You have to be ready. Your money has to already be on file in order to invest in that policy. Because when we start, you know, from start to finish, it's either 3 or 4 days or 5 days. And we fill them very quickly. Then we say, okay, we're ready to go to the bank. So then we go to escrow. We pay the guy or lady for their policies. And then we're ready, you know, to start issuing contracts for our clients.
Okay. I ask because I think a lot of times people, it's kind of like, you know, as you go into the new year, a lot of people will say, man, you know, I've got to get in shape. I've got to, you know, keep all my New Year's resolutions, but gosh, I just don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to start a membership. It's just a lot of unfun stuff. But with starting a life settlement, it really is the beginning of the rest of their life. It is really about growing their money, and what it takes to get started is really, really simple, really painless. It's not anything. It's not like going to the dentist. People should not dread it. It's a simple process.
No, it's fun. It's you know, everybody loves Claudia in our office. You know, Claudia's been with us 5 years, so all the people that interact with her every week, they love her. She's easy to work with. I know a lot of the people compliment her all the time, because she'll help you with anything you need. It doesn't matter what it is. You call and say, Claudia, I need this. She's going to get right on it. She'll get it done for you. And they appreciate that we have someone at all times that's going to help them. If they need even the least little thing, you know, Claudia in my office will help you get it done.
And, you know, that's important. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's important, especially when people, you know, don't know, you know, if they've never, you know, done business with you before. It's important for people to know that at no point will they ever be, you know, abandoned or put out in a field, or just become a number and there's nobody to contact. Those are some of the worst hurdles that a lot of people deal with, is, you know, man, I'm just going to be a number and nobody's going to be there to answer my call. But to know that people have the kind of customer service and the fact that there is always somebody reachable, whether it's Claudia or they can call you and you're always there, you don't pass people off to other people, that's got to be a big deal. I would imagine over the years, as you've, you know, gotten to know a lot of your current investors, that I would imagine that's probably one of the big feedbacks that you hear.
I think one of the biggest thing is that, you know, like a lady made a mistake on her account a couple of weeks ago. Claudia called me about it. I said, call Nevada Trust. She got a hold of James over there, the vice president, who we work with every day. And he said, well, let's just call the client. We'll get it straightened out. And they always, I mean, they're always ready to talk to my clients at any given time. Our bank, Nevada Trust, will talk to any client anytime. Doesn't matter. If they have a problem, he's on it. And what the lady was worried about was the fees. She thought she read somewhere that it was a percentage. Well, that would be if you were in the stock market, not like ours. Mm. And so James explained to them, he said, I have a deal with FaZe clients. It's $250 a year per account. And that put her mind at rest. And she knew she heard it right from the bank. So anytime anybody has something that they're worried about or have a question about, we can get James on the phone at any time. And he will talk to him. He's always glad to talk to my clients.
That's important, you know, because also not only do investors and clients know that you're always there for them, but also over the process, you get to know your investors. You understand, you know, where they're starting, you know, where what some of their goals are, how you're going to get them there. And I think that becomes a major factor when it comes to investing as well, is that, you know, you actually understand. You're not just trying to, like in the stock market here, we're just going to, you know, trade a bunch of stuff and here we go. And you're going to do these stocks because your broker gets a commission, and that's really their whole focus. Your focus is actually getting people to where they need to be, not only for retirement, but for general wealth growth as well. And I think having that kind of a personal relationship and understanding people's individual needs, that's also got to put people with some kind of advantage as well, I would think.
And another thing, if they say, I need a copy of my portfolio, Joe will get it out. Joe is a certified public accountant. He does all of the accounts for people. So if they need a copy of their account, he goes in immediately, works the numbers, sees how many policies they've got, how many have matured, what their profit is, and how much they've yet to make. So, you know, I think that's really important that we have the ability to do that for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
You know, they don't have to wait. They can get it direct from us on all their policies, everything they've made, and have a clear understanding of where they are.
People can also go online and check at any time. There's no secret information. There's nothing behind locked doors. It's all completely out in the open. Everybody can see everything that they're invested in at any time, right?
That's right. And you can always go to your account at Nevada Trust. They give you a password. If you forget it, we'll go in and get it for you. Otherwise, 24 hours a day, you can look at your account and see where you're at.
And then the other side of it is that people don't have to get up at midnight anymore or in the middle of the night and check their portfolio to see if they've got anything left or if they've been wiped out, or they don't have to do that either, because we're talking about a life settlement. And I know we kind of talked for a few minutes about the personal side of it and all that. We don't do that very often, but it is important. But as far as the investment itself goes, people can understand that once they invest in a life insurance policy, it's really just a matter of sit back and wait for it to mature. And so people don't have to go into that panic. Do you find that as people go through the process after their first or second policy, that maybe some of those nerves of, you know, past investment opportunities like stock market, things like that, those start to settle down and people just tend to relax?
I think they do. After they have their first maturity, they see how it works, how they're going to get paid, and they relax and realize, you know, that, yes, it really does work. Of course, a lot of them have their friends or their relatives have already told them, you know, this is what I've made. This is how much I've made over the years. And one of the families, that, as I said, that came to us, their other relative has been with us from the start. They know how much. I don't know if she's ever told them how much she's made, but I know she's told them she makes good money every year. So now the family has come to us and said, we want to do it too. Like a lot of other people, they procrastinated, but now they're on board.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really important. You know, when you talk about, you know, recommending something to your friends, your family, you know, even coworkers, you know, people don't recommend something just willy-nilly. I mean, they're really, really, they've usually done it for a while. They have a long track record. They have a lot of numbers. They have a lot of past historical data. You know, hey, over say, you know, this many years, we've made this much. So people know when they recommend things, they're putting that own personal relationship on the line. They're not going to recommend something that's terrible. And so people tend to do that. And that really speaks a lot of volumes, I think, not only for you, but for the investment itself, because it does work and people understand that. And they're happy and excited to share that with people.
I think they are. We have a lot of people that do share it. I get calls all the time. You know, so-and-so told me about you. I work with them all the time. You know, I'm ready to make a decision here.
It's a big deal. That is a really big deal. So let's talk just for a few minutes about the actual investment itself. We're talking about investing in a life insurance policy. So I would imagine probably one of the first things that people ask is, how can I possibly make money by investing in a life insurance policy?
Well, because we buy the policies at a discount, and they make the difference between the discount and the face amount. So, you know, we pay 1% a month. So the way it works is if you buy a policy, it's a 24-month policy, you're going to make 24%. If you buy a 12-month, you're going to make 12%. And everybody has their own opinion as to whether they want a really short term or whether they want a longer term. You know, I like the longer terms because if it comes in early, then you've made money quicker, is my theory. But a lot of people say, I want that 12 to 18 month. And so that's what they're looking for. So different people are looking for different things. And the way I look at it, you know, it's a straightforward deal. The insurance company is going to pay the face amount of that policy. So you know what you're going to make going in. You know what percentage you're going to make. You know if it goes over, what it's going to cost you. You know all the facts, all the figures going in. I love that part. It's not like stock. You don't know if it's going to be up today, and then a year from now, it may be way down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not contingent that way on the ups and downs of the stock market. You know what you're going to make going in. That's why everybody likes it.
A life insurance policy maintains its value. It's not going to go down if it's, a $250,000 policy, regardless of whatever is happening in the world, stock market or otherwise. It's not like when the policy matures that the insurance company is going to say, well, instead of $250,000, we're only going to pay out about $180,000 of this policy. It doesn't work that way. It holds its value.
It does hold its value. And some policies are quicker than others. You know, we have certain policies that we buy as quick as we can get them. Pancreatic cancer is one. Everybody loves that because they're always early. Breast cancer is another one that all but three have come in early. So, you know, we've learned over the years which policies come in quicker. The percentage is always the same. We've never changed that. A lot of companies have. I know the mutual fund companies are paying them 8%. And they're making the spread on the rest of it, which is fine. But our clients are the ones that make the money, you know. So 1% a month, if it's 24 months, they're going to make 24%. Now, a lot of these can come in early. They can come in on time. And there's going to be a percentage. They're always going to be late. We're doing a much better job than we were in 14 and 15. Those old policies, you know, have been late coming in. But they are coming. We've had two of those older policies mature in the last week, which is really a blessing.
Wow.
Yes, two of the older policies. And one of them was an ALS policy. They made us believe that he was closer to death than he was. So it was late coming in. But it has matured, and people will be getting paid on that in about 6 weeks.
Wow, that's pretty quick. So how many of these...
We've also having trouble with New Jersey. You know, New Jersey, you know, it's just a different part of the world. we've been waiting on a death certificate. We still don't have it. We don't know what we're going to do to those people.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. New Jerseyans is another part of the world.
It is. It's another part of the world. You know, everybody else, we talk to them, yes, we'll get you the death certificate. New Jersey says, oh, no, we're too busy right now. We can't give you this certificate. Oh, my gosh. We don't want to have to send someone to New Jersey.
That should be their state slogan. New Jersey, welcome to another part of the world.
That's exactly right. It is. Well, you know, you got some strange people living in New Jersey. It's just not like living in Texas, I can tell you.
Oh, that's for sure. It's completely,
wow.
Whatever the opposite is, that would be New Jersey. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
We'll get into some of the things that people can expect as a long-term investment as far as how the process works and what they can expect, you know, on returns and things like that. We'll get into the risks here in just a few minutes as well. But every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
I was thinking about Garth Brooks this morning.
Really?
I had seen his special on television the other night. And I don't usually watch Garth Brooks. I've known how good a singer he was over the years and everything. I know he's had a lot of specials, but I've never really watched one. And so the other night I was watching Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, his wife, on a special. And they asked him to sing this song about the war in Vietnam as a Christmas song. And he said, well, I haven't played it in a lot of years. I'm not even sure I know all the words. And I thought, and you're going to sing it on national television?
Oh, boy.
And he got almost through, and he said, wait a minute. And so he redoes his chord and starts over and became very emotional on it. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. You know, the life and times of Garth Brooks. You know, Garth Brooks was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His family was very much into music. And as a little boy, they had to put on a skit like every Friday night. He learned to play a couple of instruments. Of course, one of them was the guitar. But his mother made him perform every week.
Really?
Which I found really unusual. But that's how he learned. His mother taught him to play and expected him to perform. Every Friday night, they had a performance they had to do.
I did not know that.
Yes. So I found it very, very interesting. As you know, he has outsold even the Beatles. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that
either. He has sold 170 million records.
Really?
170 million, folks.
That's a lot.
It is. You know, he had three little girls. I never will remember forget the story. His wife had a house, and when they got a divorce, I believe it was in 2001, he bought a house just down the road from her. And their deal was that they would both live right there. The three girls would be at his house one night, his wife's at the other. And they took turns. And they said, we will raise them together even though we are divorced. And that's what they did. Raise those little girls right there side by side.
Jeez, I didn't
which
know.
Is, you know, unusual.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't
but
realize.
But he was very much a family man. He loved those little girls. He married Trisha Yearwood, I believe, in 2005 after the divorce. And they've been married all these years. As you know, she has a beautiful voice and is a good singer also. But a lot of things happened along the way. Not only, you know, did he move to Nashville and, you know, become a big star, but somewhere along the way he said, I'm going to retire. I never will forget. You know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to just retire. Well, he's too young to be retiring, you know. So from 2001 till 2005, he said, you know, I'm just going to retire. And during that time, he sold millions of records with Walmart.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
And he had a contract just with Walmart. And then in 2005, he said, I'm going to do a partial comeback. So he began releasing a little bit of albums. And then in 2009, if you remember, he went to the Wynn in Las Vegas on weekends, and he was there till 2009. And part of his contract was that they would furnish a jet where he could go home every weekend and be with his family.
Really?
Yeah. So then in 2014, he said, I'm going to do a comeback, do a world tour. So he and his wife, Trisha Yearwood, did a world tour from 14 to 17. And then he said, well, in 19, I'm going to do a stadium tour. And then his most recent album, Fun, was released in this year. As I said, he sold 170 million records.
That's amazing.
He's the best solo performer of all time. How many people would know that? So he did all that, and he got into a fight with all these people about the people that could just go out here and get your albums and your CDs and all this. So he restricted all that. He sued everybody and because he said that wasn't right. And then that's when he finally went to Walmart and did a deal with them. Now he's done a deal with Amazon Music. And you can buy his music on anything, and that's how he's made all this tremendous amount of money. But way back then, when he started out, he was just singing and playing guitar in all these little clubs, and one of them was Wild Willie's Saloon in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And so he just started out doing all these different albums, but he was so good, you know, he just became Billboard's top country album. And in 89, he reached a peak at number two on Billboard's.
Wow.
And he was influenced, he said, by George Strait. And one of his first singles was Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one?
1989.
And the one I liked is If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great one. But anyway, he's made all this money. He's been a great family man. And when I saw him on television the other night, I said, you know, he does not look like a performer. He had on this shirt, not even tucked in his pants, you know, a long shirt, had on these Levi's and these old-looking boots. And I go, my gosh, he does not look like a star.
Wow.
Yeah. But as I said, he got Capitol Records not to even ship his, back in 93, his records, because he was losing all this loss in paper and royalties, you know, because everybody could get to everything. So he sued a lot of people and wouldn't even let them ship everything for a couple of years there.
Wow. I guess I'd forgotten about all that.
Yeah. But he's done all these world tours several times. And it's just, you know, made him more money and more money. Do you remember back in 95 he released Fresh Horses? And that was... made the Billboard charts at number one, too. But most of his songs have. But I know he became very emotional the other night when he sang that Vietnam War song.
I wish I'd seen that.
Yeah, he became very emotional about it. So apparently it meant a lot to him, not just that he recorded it, but what it was about and what the lyrics were about. And then Trisha Yearwood came on and sang with it. And I had forgot how well they sing together. Mm-hmm. And when he went on that world tour, you know, it was him and her. And, of course, you know, she's got her cooking show there in Nashville.
Yeah.
And it's very successful. But, you know, I was just thinking how much he has made and what his songs have really done over the years.
You know, it's amazing. Not very many performers can retire for like a decade and then come back and have the second run even bigger than the record-breaking first run that they had. I mean, think about it. In that time that he had retired, things had changed so much. You know, we'd gone from, you know, that type of you know, music, the hats and the traditional sounds and things like that. By the time he came back, we had, like, you know, a lot of the bro country was around, and, you know, groups like, you know, Florida Georgia Line, you know, Thomas Rhett, stuff like that. And so things had changed so much. It's like a lot of people were really, really nervous. You'll remember those shows in Lubbock; those sold out in like 3 seconds. It was just amazing.
That's right.
Kept adding one after another. It's fascinating what he's been able to do.
Well, and when he came back to do that world tour, everybody didn't know if everybody was still going to like him. Remember that?
Yeah.
They didn't know if it would be a success because he'd been out for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Hadn't even been around. Wasn't releasing anything. He just took a sabbatical. Was going to retire. And I remember when that world tour started. I think it was in New York City or somewhere. You know, thousands and thousands lined up to see him.
Yeah.
And everybody was wondering how good he would still be.
Yeah, I think that he sold out a ton of shows at, like, Madison Square Garden. They kept adding more shows to that, too.
They did. And I remember that, you know, he's always just this little strange-looking guy. You know what I'm trying to say? In other words, he didn't have usually the tux on and all that. He usually just has his Levi's on, the old boots on, and the shirt hanging out. I mean, and yet he's got his hat on, and he's fabulous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks country. I guess he looks the part.
And he's also one of the nicest people that ever walked the earth, you know, because when you get to that point, you know, a lot of singers will, you know, on their way up, you know, they'll be really, really nice. But then once they make it, so to speak, you know, there's a lot of demands, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people, you know, trying to ride those coattails. And so you sometimes have to get, you know, protective of things like that. But man, I tell you what, everybody that's ever worked with him before, everybody that's ever met him said he's genuinely one of the nicest people there ever was. He'll still, even though he doesn't have to, he will still sign autographs for hours and hours and hours. When he did that Walmart thing, I worked with a guy who was his manager at the time, and he said, you know, we did the Walmart thing, we did the tours where he would, you know, sign the autographs, and at that point he didn't need the money, he didn't need the fame, he didn't need the exposure, he didn't have to do anything, but he went out there and I think he signed for like 24 hours one time. And the guy said, you know, hey, you know, we can cut this off if you want to, and Garth was like, no, we're going to stay here, we're going to sign these things until every single last person has been seen. And he did. It was amazing. Great guy.
Well, everybody that has said something about him had wonderful things to say about him personally, you know, about what kind of a man he really was.
Yeah.
And is. And I know they quoted him on a lot of things, some of his sayings, and it was amazing. He said, you're not really rich until you give back to the other people.
Wow. And that's true.
Something, you know, he said, being rich means you need to be giving back something to the other people. And he says it doesn't have anything to do with money.
Ooh, wow, that's that's pretty deep. That's true.
It was very deep. What his opinion was of what you ought to be as a person.
Wow.
And the way he raised his little girls tells you a lot about his life, because he stayed right there in Oklahoma and lived right down the road and made sure he saw his little girls every day.
Yeah.
And he helped raise them all the way through. And the little girls, as they got older, gave interviews. And I saw some of the interviews, and it was hilarious. They said, can you imagine our dad washing our hair? They said, it was not a fun time. And they said, he wasn't an especially great cook, but they ate it. You know, whatever he fixed them, they ate it, but he wasn't a very good cook. So there was a lot of things about him, you know, that that was very interesting about the man. But he said, until you can give back and it doesn't have anything to do with money, your life doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, people don't always, you know, when you know, people are gone, people don't always remember, well, geez, here's how much they were worth, or here's how many, you know, albums they sold, or here's, you know, whatever the case is, whatever, you know, even if you're not selling albums, you're still doing something. People don't always reference that. They always reference, you know, the character of the person, and that's what really sticks with people. And it sounds like he's going to go down in history as one of the great influences, hopefully, you know, inspired people to be better people. I think that'll probably be one of his greatest accomplishments.
Yes, and of course, you know, a lot of people don't realize he got a degree, you know, in advertising.
Yeah.
You know, went to college, and, you know, in high school, he played every sport there is to play.
Really?
And he succeeded. Oh, yes. He was big in sports. He, baseball, football, the javelin. That was another big thing that he did.
Really?
And, yeah. And he went to college in Stillwater on a scholarship in the sports. He was so good in sports.
The javelin. I don't know anybody that's taken the javelin.
Oh yeah, I mean he did everything. They said he was, you know, it was really, really good in all the sports, and everybody expected that's what he was going to do in life. Mm. But apparently that was just a way to get where he needed to go. You know, was all the sports. But he ran track and field, and he got a track scholarship at Oklahoma State University.
Amazing.
Yeah, got a degree in advertising in 1984.
Wow. Of course, I think millions of people, or maybe more, around the world are glad that he did not settle on sports. He settled on music.
Yeah, because, you know, I think starting as a little kid, I think it really helps you. If you start that young, you know, you've just got the talent.
Yeah. Yeah, not only a great entertainer and super, super talented as far as that goes, but also a great person character-wise, and that's what's important.
Yeah, he has, and he became very emotional the other night when he was singing that song, and so that tells you a lot about him. A lot of people, we see him perform day in and day out, and they haven't ever become emotional about anything. And
that's true.
They're so far from emotion, it's amazing. But if you remember, back during the riots in 1992, he wrote a gospel song called "We Shall Be Free."
Ooh, yes.
You know, and there's a lot of them that people don't even remember. But of Christian songs, it was number 22. And he won an award for that. And then he wrote Somewhere Other Than the Night.
Mm. Wow, forgot about that one.
How about Learning to Live Again?
Yes. Oh, geez. Now look what you're doing.
Yeah, see, I remember all these. And then he released his first Christmas album, Beyond the Season, in 1992. And he had White Christmas, Silent Night, The Old Man's Back in Town. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So people don't remember how many songs he's really done because he started so long ago. And he released one in 2005 called Good Ride Cowboy.
Mm.
And that was a tribute to his late friend and country singer Chris LeDoux.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I forgot about that.
And then he did one with Trisha called Love Will Always Win, which is a really great song.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And that was in the top 25 on Billboard's.
He can do anything. He can do soft love songs, and you believe them. They're relatable. They're believable. And then he can do fun songs like the American Honky Tonk Bar Association. Really, such a wide range of talent all over the place.
Well, and when he was going to retire, the final album when he retired in 2001 was called Scarecrow.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And
then he retired, took everything to Walmart.
So exactly what I'm going to do when I retire, take everything to Walmart.
Take everything to Walmart, folks. They'll get it done right there at Walmart.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
That's going to be the new retirement plan. Take everything to Walmart.
Take everything to Walmart, folks.
All right. So in the few minutes we have left, talk real quick about what people can expect long term when it comes to the life settlement. When this type of investment is very, very different than the stock market, but people have to be in a number of policies to be diversified. You got to plan on doing this for several years. It's not just in one policy and out. So what does a general plan look like for most people?
Well, I think most people, they need to have six or seven policies. You've got to be diversified where you've got some that will come in early, medium, and then long. And do this over and over again, and it'll work out. We have a lot of people, this has worked for them for years. Sometimes they're late, and you think, oh, goodness, these are late. But then they all start coming in, like these two late ones that both came in this week. So a lot of people are in both of them, so they're going to get paid on both of them. It's been a very successful program. It is successful. The people that are doing this are doing great. So I would recommend that a person get in it and do several policies and just let it ride for a few years and make some serious money.
And with the tremendous returns that people are seeing with life settlements, it does come with three risks. We always like to cover those. Although everybody who is involved in a life settlement is accredited. So one, what does that mean? And then two, when we look at the risks, it kind of they seem a little bit diminished. So first of all, what does it mean to be accredited?
Okay. If to be accredited, you've got to either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home. A guy was complaining to our office this week, said, why won't Faye let us do it? And why do we have to have all this? And Joe was the one that was talking to him. And Joe said, well, look at it this way. The government has their rules, and we're going to follow the rules. And the rules are you must be accredited to do this program. That's a government rule. It wasn't Faye Bagby's rule. It's a government rule. My rule is you have to have $100,000 to start. I don't want someone to come in with their last $50,000 in the world. So we figure if a person has at least $100,000, they have emergency money, and it's not their last dollar. So that's what we require. And the other is a government requirement. And then there's three risks. The first risk is it could go over. You have to be prepared for a percentage to go over. You have to be prepared to know the second risk. It's not liquid till it matures. Everybody knows that. But that is something we have to tell you. It is not liquid during that time. And then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas, and we haven't had one go under in U.S. in years because of the premium income. And so the risk is very small. As I said, the biggest risk is it could go over.
It's a very exciting opportunity for people who are especially looking for new, more conservative ways to invest, grow their money without having to be a slave to the stock market. It's a great opportunity for the holidays. You know, with you know this week coming up and you know New Year's and all that. Can people call and still make an appointment to talk to you?
Yes, they can talk to us. Now remember, we're going to be out from the 23rd to the 4th. They can send an email if they need to talk to us. If it's something that has to get done before the end of the year, if they'll send an email, we'll get it done. If they have to get an account open before the end of the year, if they'll send an email, I can send someone to the office. We'll get it done if it needs to happen.
Okay. And just so people can reach out if they want to, what is that? What is the best email to get you?
FayeBagby@Reagan.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.